When I was a child, one of my favorite activities was to complete a paint-by-number kit. Now, I'm sure many of you listening this morning remember paint-by-number kits. The manufacturer would take a piece of art, often classic art like the Mona Lisa, and turn it into blue lines and blue numbers that corresponded to paint that came with the kit. You would fill out with the right numbered paint the blue lines. When you were finished, you wound up with a painting, but it was not art. Later in my life, after I had become an adult and had put my faith in Jesus Christ as my Savior, I realized what an apt illustration of the Christian life this was. Often we're trying to please God with paint-by-number spirituality instead of allowing Him to make us into the masterpieces He desires. So how can we become the masterpiece which God wants us to be? Will we be real or religious? Put another way. Jesus helps us out in Luke chapter 11, verses 37 to 54, where He gives us seven characteristics of the religious versus the real. The setting is found in verse 37. When Jesus had finished speaking, a Pharisee invited Him to eat with him, so He went in and reclined at the table. But the Pharisee noticed that Jesus did not first wash before the meal and was surprised. The issue there was not hygiene, but rather ritual washings that were required by the rabbis. Jesus surprised this Pharisee by not participating in them, and He used this as an occasion to correct their false view of spirituality. The Everyman Bible Commentary explains it this way: an elaborate system of utterly meaningless ablutions, each carried out with particular gestures, had been instituted by the rabbinical schools. All these senseless forms and ceremonies had been developed out of the original simple directions to secure cleanliness in the Levitical law. J. Dwight Pentecost, in his book, The Words and Works of Jesus, quotes Frederick Farrar, who said this: "They were wedded to the religious system which had long prevailed among them, because it is easy to be a slave to the letter and difficult to enter into the spirit, easy to obey a number of outward rules, difficult to enter intelligently and self-sacrificingly into the will of God, easy to entangle the soul in a network of petty observances, difficult to yield the obedience of an enlightened heart, easy to be haughtily exclusive, difficult to be humbly spiritual, easy to be an ascetic or a formalist, difficult to be pure and loving and wise and free, easy to be a Pharisee, difficult to be a disciple. Very easy to embrace a self-satisfying and sanctimonious system of rabbinical observances. Very difficult to love God with all the heart and all the might and all the soul and all the strength." How can we do that? How can we love God with all our hearts, all of our might, all of our soul, and all of our strength? How can we be real rather than religious? Jesus gives us the first characteristic in verses 39 through 41. "Then the Lord said to him, 'Now then, you Pharisees, clean the outside of the cup and dish, but inside you're full of greed and wickedness. You foolish people, did not the one who made the outside make the inside also? But give what is inside the dish to the poor, and everything will be clean for you.'" The first characteristic of the religious versus the real is concern for the exterior, but leaving the interior life untouched. Put another way, a superficial view of spirituality. To the Pharisee, and indeed to all religionists, legalists, religion is a matter of external form and ritual rather than of the heart, the inner person. It is ludicrous to cleanse the outside and not the inside. Washing the hands did not make the heart pure. Jesus taught in numerous places the heart is the place from which sin proceeds and is not touched by ritual hand washing. True spirituality begins with the heart and works its way out to the actions. It doesn't begin with the hands. The heart must be guarded, Proverbs 4:23 tells us, for it is the genesis of our actions. The heart is only touched by the Spirit of God through the Word of God. The second characteristic is found in verse 42. Woe to you, Pharisees, because you give a tenth of your mint, rue, and all other kinds of garden herbs, but you neglect justice and the love of God. You should have practiced the latter without leaving the former undone. The second characteristic of the religious versus the real is concern for minors instead of majors. They were unbalanced. They concentrated on the tiny details and missed the great moral principles of the Word of God. They strained out a gnat and swallowed a camel. J. Vernon McGee illustrates it this way. There are a lot of folk who make so much of the little things. I remember a dear lady who used to argue about the use of lipstick. She thought it was awful, and yet she had the meanest tongue of any person I know. She didn't think that was bad, but lipstick was terrible. Frankly, the pain of gossip on the end of the tongue, especially when it is used to blacken somebody's reputation, is lots worse than a little paint on the lips. It is amazing how people can strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. The third characteristic is found in verse 43. Woe to you, Pharisees, because you love the most important seats in the synagogues and greetings in the marketplaces. The third characteristic of the religious versus the real is that they loved attention and were concerned with perception rather than reality. They were filled with pride. They loved the praise of others. It was their fuel. They enjoyed being looked up to and envied. They enjoyed the most important seats, the front seats of the synagogue. How different from today. They enjoyed the front seats reserved for the most important members. They loved attention. They loved to be looked up to. The fourth characteristic is found in verse 44. Woe to you because you are like unmarked graves which men walk over without knowing it. The fourth characteristic of the religious versus the real is that they were blind to their own failure, and rather than being a force for good, they actually contaminated others with their rigidity and unyieldedness and their hypocrisy. You see, in that day, contact with a grave, even unknowingly, brought contamination, Numbers 19:16. So graves in that day were painted white so they could be seen at night. But these people don't recognize their own corruption, and they defile those they come into contact with. The fifth characteristic is found in verse 46. Jesus replied, "And you experts in the law, woe to you, because you load people down with burdens they can hardly carry, and you yourselves will not lift one finger to help them." The fifth characteristic of the religious versus the real is they bound people to their wrong interpretation of Scripture. They left little room for personal moral decisions by their interpretations, and especially the traditions that they added to the Word of God. They themselves found a way around their own rules, but all the while burdening people with tiresome religious regulations, but were unwilling to help them. The sixth characteristic is found in verses 47 through 51. Woe to you because you build tombs for the prophets, and it was your forefathers who killed them. So you testify that you approve of what your forefathers did. They killed the prophets, and you build their tombs. Because of this, God in his wisdom said, I will send them prophets and apostles, some of whom they will kill and others they will persecute. Therefore, this generation will be held responsible for the blood of all the prophets that has been shed since the beginning of the world, from the blood of Abel to the blood of Zechariah, who was killed between the altar and the sanctuary. Yes, I tell you, this generation will be held responsible for it all. The sixth characteristic is of the religious versus the real is that they were spiritually intolerant of others. Outwardly, they gave the appearance of honoring the prophets. Inwardly, they were like their fathers. As one writer, Riley, said, it's easier to build monuments than to obey. Interestingly, they would ultimately reject Jesus himself. The last characteristic, the seventh characteristic, is found in verse 52. Woe to you experts in the law, because you have taken away the key to knowledge. You yourselves have not entered, and you have hindered those who were entering. The seventh characteristic is they hindered others in their spiritual journey. The religious person versus the real person locked away the kingdom of God to those who were honestly seeking it. They obscured God's true revelation and kept men out of the kingdom by their legalism, by their tradition. The religionist often turns people off to our Savior. God wants to make us his masterpieces. We must let him. Would you bow with me in prayer? Lord God, thank you for the changes that you are making in our lives from the inside out. Please conform us to the image of your Son and make us your masterpiece. I pray in Jesus' name, amen.